are called to do that. So hopefully you have signed that, made a commitment, and you're praying about that, and it's just doing what God's called us to do. Another part of that is in March, hopefully y'all got your letters. Y'all get a church letter this week? Most of you got one. You should have got one, hopefully. If you didn't, that means we don't have your address or something. So you can see me after church and say, hey, I didn't get one, and I'll make sure you get on the list. But basically, we do have a family friend day coming up here on a Sunday. I think it's March 22nd. Is that right? March 22nd on the AM service. And the last time we broke 100 was in 2014. So we need to get there again, okay? We need to get there again. People say, well, how does a church grow? Well, the Bible says God gives the growth, but we got to do some seed planting. We got to do the work of it, okay? If you want to see the church grow, then you're going to have to do your part, and we do our part together. Amen? Amen? All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16 this morning. And I truly believe that when Christ came, he came so that all might be saved. Well, but we know through Scripture that not everyone is going to be saved. Not everyone is going to have salvation. And so many times people want the idea, they want the ideas of what God has to offer, the blessings, heaven, forgiveness of sin, and those things. But when trouble and tribulation kind of come up and problems in life, people begin to scatter. And so I think, as we're going to read today, that there is a drawing. Once we become a Christian, we come to Christ, and we follow Christ in baptism, and we do communion a few times, and we get into a few Bible studies here and there, and then there's a tendency to fall and drift off. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to draw to him. When Jesus was doing all of these miracles and casting out the demonic and just doing these amazing preaching and teaching, and whether it was in the synagogue or outside on a hill or out off a boat in the water, Jesus was doing it. And as long as people were getting healed and miracles were happening, he had a crowd. He had the crowd. Once he said he was the Son of God in that moment, it was a hard teaching for many, and many drifted off. But he still had a crowd. And then he got arrested. And then the crowd started. And there was no crowd. Even his own denied him. They all ran off. And it was just him. So the closer he got to the cross, the less people that stuck. The more we do what God's called us to do, look around. Because when you carry your cross, I'm telling you, the cross sometimes gets heavy. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Then it says in verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. They love the miracles. The people loved the teachings because it wasn't like the scribes, but they loved Jesus' teachings. They loved that many of them had family members that had demonic presence, and he cast them out, and lives were changed from the blind to the leprosy to those that were demonic filled to the bleeding to the death. And Jesus did all kinds of awesome miracles, but there was a pull that he just didn't want them to be a part of that. He wanted them to come to him. And the first part of it is not that you deny yourself. The first part is that you must have a desire to follow Christ. There must be a desire to follow him. That desire means there's an inner pull in us. There's something that, and you can't do it without him anyway, so he's pulling you toward him. There must be a desire to follow Christ. There has to be a desire. So you got to check that in yourself. Lord, is there a desire that I want to follow Christ? So I ask you, it's not about what ministries you do, what jobs you got in the church. I'm asking you, do you still have a desire for Christ? Do you still have a desire to come after Christ? That's the first piece. And it gets harder, because being the Christian that God wants you to be, it is life-changing. And how many of us wanted to start an exercise program? I got two hands up. I've been wanting to do it all year, and I can't get it done. You know why? Because I don't want it bad enough. Just be honest. I want it. I want the after effects, but I don't want to do the work. Just being honest. I want what it gives me, but I don't want to do the work. Because I gotta stop doing some things with food and pop. And I like my food and I like my Pepsi. But I want some change, but I don't want to. So my desire is to have it, but I don't have a desire to do it. Because if I did, I would be doing it. And that's just exercise. And then you got people, you know, just whatever habits are. So you have to have a desire. And you notice some kids have a desire to go out and skateboard and learn tricks and stuff. Other people have a desire to go out and start businesses. You can see a desire already in young kids' lives all the way up until we get whatever age. There's different desires. And Jesus says, if anyone has a desire to come to me, first of all, you got to have a desire. Amen? And today, just preaching, I know, I got to work even a little bit more on that desire. I gotta ignite my prayer life and a couple of things a little bit more and ignite that desire. Because you will spend time with the things you love. Whatever you do the most, that's what you love the most. I know some of us say, well, I work all these hours and I surely don't love my work. We can put that aside, but I'm just saying we will spend that time that we have doing other things. Our desire will fill that. And then he says, not only you have to have a desire to come after him, he also says that you must deny yourself. We don't like that. We have to deny ourselves. If I deny myself, then I'm letting something else in. That I'm kind of giving control to. So I'm denying the things that I strive for. I'm not seeking my direction. I want to seek now God's direction. And I can do that through prayer, reading of the word, and worship. But all of us can do that. So what does it really mean to deny yourself? What it means is your prayer life is just not a prayer life. And your Bible reading is just not a Bible reading, and your worship is not really just a worship. Believe me, if when you deny yourself, prayer becomes an experience, reading the word becomes an experience, and worship becomes an experience. You're not just singing songs, you're just not reading, you're experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit through these things. And the things of Christ becomes more important to you. But if you deny yourself, you begin to, there is a letting the Holy Spirit lead your life. So I got to have a desire, and I got to deny myself. In 2 Corinthians 15, I want to read another verse here for you. It's pretty well known, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a part in that verse where the old things have gone away, and now things become new. And that's what happens when you not only have a desire for Christ, but that you begin to deny yourself. Okay? You begin to deny yourself. But he also said, he didn't stop there. He also says, now you got to take up It says, and take up his cross, take up your cross. Now there becomes a new purpose in life. It's not about self anymore. It becomes a new purpose in life. It's absolute, this is the hard part, absolute surrender. You have to, you absolutely surrender yourself over to Christ. And so you begin to do the hard work. And carrying the cross endures some pain. You got to carry it on the good days, and you got to understand that you're going to be carrying it on the bad days, and you're going to understand that you got to carry it every single day, because it's not about you anymore; it's about Him. You see, a lot of people will line up for the miracles. A lot of people will line up for the blessings of God, but they don't understand the part of giving themselves. This is why a lot of people are praying for personal gain. They're praying for their own dreams to come true. They're praying for selfish things all the time. And it doesn't mean we not to pray for ourselves, but we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so we could pray about those things that are God's will. But carrying the cross is not easy. It's not. For when you carry the cross and it becomes heavy, sometimes you look around and you don't see others with you. But I want to remind you, you're not the only one carrying your cross. Others are called to carry their cross too. Carrying the cross is hard. When others don't get it, you're still pushing forward. When others walk away, you're still there. So not only do we have a desire for Him, and we deny ourselves and we take up the cross, but He also says to follow me, to follow Jesus. This is the hardest one, because we're so used to following ourself, our own voice, our own parts of our lives. We're used to following ourselves. All of us are committed to ourselves. We're committed to ourselves. We love me, we love myself, we love I. We love I, me, myself, and I. We got a three-band piece here. But when you follow Christ, you're turning that steering wheel over to Him. It's a commitment, and it's a lifelong, eternal commitment. This is why salvation is very important. This is why spiritual growth is huge. This is why God's will is very important. But to follow Christ means that you are making a commitment. You are turning your life over to Christ, and you're going to not just receive what He has, but you're going to follow Him. And following means you don't know where you're going all the time. You don't know where He's taking you to. And He won't show it all to you, because if He showed it all to you, you wouldn't be able to take it. This is why it's taken 18, 19 years to get where we are today as a church. He didn't show us all that when we started. We were just figuring out what to do and how to love on people and those kind of things. He didn't show us and say, this is what you're going to be. No. What it is that we have to follow Him in a commitment, regardless of what we see in front of us and regardless of what we don't see around the corner or over the horizon. We're going to trust Him. We're going to follow Him. We're going to stay committed. And my opinion goes out the door. Your opinion goes out the door. God's not interested in your opinion making things different. He's not interested in mine. He wants us to follow Him. Be faithful and committed. There's a new course in town, because there's a new king. There's a new king in town. There's a new course and a new path in your life, because there's a new God in town. It's not yourself, but it is God Himself. And there's a new strength in town. It's not by your own power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. So there's a new boss in town. There's a new boss in the family. There's a new boss in your life, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you're going to follow Him, you got to let Him be boss. But we don't like a boss. We don't like people telling us what to do. Let alone God telling us what to do. We don't like it. We like to do the Lone Ranger thing. We like to do it our way. And I want to tell you, doing it the my way is getting on another highway that don't lead you anywhere. It just leads you, you get lost. Let me ask you, when's the last time you did something on your own and it worked out? When's the last time you had a plan and it came to be? How many of y'all are still trying to make that same old plan work, that same old junk work? If you get on God's plan and you follow Him, He's got all that covered. You just keep fighting. You keep wanting the steering wheel. And, you know, sometimes we just got to let go, because if we cry and whine enough, sometimes you just want to not hear all the crying and whining. Just let them go. Let them do it. And following is hard. And life experience shows us some things. It does. In 2 Corinthians, there's another verse in chapter 5, verse 20. Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen, you don't become an ambassador until you learn how to have a desire for Jesus. You deny yourself. You pick up your cross and you follow Him. And then you begin. So then he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I like this part. As though God were pleading through us. God works through the individual who has given their life to Him and denied themselves, picked up their cross, and they're following Jesus. God is working through that person. And these people say, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, which means restore your relationship with God. Because there's a lot of Christians today that have a damaged relationship with God. Because you're angry at your spouse. You're angry at the church. You're angry in the ministries. God doesn't have time for that. And you don't either. Time is ticking. You don't know when you're going to leave this world. You got one time. And I don't mean to say it in a bad way, but you got one time to impress God. Even though we can't impress Him, but we can be committed to Him. We can show Him our lifestyle. That we can do the best that we can do. And God's mercy and grace covers us. But we just can't sit back and have attitudes toward brothers and sisters in Christ, have attitudes toward our spouse, have attitudes toward ministry. Listen, if you really had it all your way, would you really want it? Because that sounds like a very selfish person. A very judgmental person. There wouldn't be anybody in the church. We have to learn how to follow Him. And we have to learn how to do it with ups and the downs. Because life on this earth is hard. And as a Christian, it is harder because people are coming at you. Satan is coming at you. But I want to tell you, there is a cost. There is a cost. The Bible says in Matthew, as we continue to follow this, where we if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In verse 25, he says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What God's saying, really, if you want to pick up your cross and follow me, that old self of you, you're done. There's no room for this. No room for your old self. There's no room for there's no room for an egotistical, prideful Jimmy in there. It has to be one that's going to follow Christ and let Christ take lead. God's on the throne, not me. God's making the decisions, not me. God's working through me, not me working through me. God is always on the front. He's always at the head. He's always leading. He's always doing what He is doing. He's being God. He's boss. Listen, I want you to listen to me really close. In every family, there is a boss. Biblically, it's supposed to be the Christian man of the home. That's biblically. If he don't do it, sometimes the wife will do it. The spiritual boss. But I'm telling you, both of those will fail at times. The true boss of the family and the home is God. And the leader, the spiritual leader of the family, and the spiritual leaders of the family, whether they be patriarch or matriarch, they need to be doing this. You know who's leading the family. It can be the immediate family or the big part of your family. If that person who is leading the family is a follower of Christ and God is the lead, and you can tell if they are that person's boss, they will lead, letting Jesus lead their family. But so many of us want to lead in our own ways. But if God is boss, God is God in our lives, that spiritual leader of the family will lead in godly ways. And the whole family, even spouses, can be angry even when that is happening, because that person, that individual, will put God up here. And that up here will let in God. And sometimes it ruffles even your own family. But God will see through, because there is a cost in following Christ. There is a cost. Some of that cost is, it's a loss of something. Sometimes it's a persecution of people in other countries. There are persecution of being a believer. But sometimes the cost of following Christ is a cost of family. Your family sometimes will push against you. They don't want to talk to you. They are jealous of you. They don't like it. There's just an enviness. There's an anger because you have a relationship with God and they don't. Or, listen to me, they're a believer, but they're a prodigal and they're just angry. They're just an angry believer who's upset about everything, and they're just a very immature Christian. But that doesn't mean you stop loving them, but there is a cost in that. There's a cost of being the person God wants you to be. You can lose your reputation. That means just people gossiping about you, talking about your reputation. That's something you can throw away. And let me tell you something. You can say, well, I don't care about my reputation. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That's why if you're not doing this with Christ, you won't make it. Because Christ's reputation was thrown out in the gutter, and they put him on the cross. But he focused with God and became bigger. But reputation through others, it can fall apart. But there's also a cost of wealth, and it can be also a cost of wealth and fame. You can lose your job, okay? You can lose your job. You can lose your dream job by following Christ, your own personal dream job. You can lose a boyfriend, a girlfriend. You can be harassed in school, harassed at work, harassed in your family because you're a believer in Christ. There's imprisonment for some. Even in China right now, there's a lot going to prison. They're even being harder on that. Even the legalized church, they're being hard on right now. The largest church, women prison right now that's getting more and more is the Iran prison for women. They're putting more women in. This whole thing, you believe in Jesus, and they're just, man, they're putting them Christians in jail, and the women's is really growing. And it takes the life of some because of their relationship with God. It takes personal time. You're going to have to give up some things to follow Christ. And some of that's going to be time. Some of that's TV time. Sometimes that's personal time. It's less of me and more of him. That's what it is. Less of me and more of him. And sometimes we don't like it. But I want to tell you something. The more you draw the more you draw closer to Christ, the more you draw closer to the Lord, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's definitely worth it. But in those desires and denying himself and taking up your cross and following him, there's a battle in each one of those. There's a battle in each one of those. When we have a desire for following Christ, some days we want to follow Christ and some days we won't want to. Because we're just living life. I'm telling you, you got to fight the battle. There's a raging battle that we fight, and you got to fight that desire, so you got to keep sticking close to God. There's also a desire when it comes, there's a battle when it comes to denying yourself. Sometimes it's all about others. And we deny ourselves. Sometimes there's days we want it to be all about us. It's my time to shine. My time to get something from God. It's my time, and I don't understand it. I'm denying myself. I don't understand it. Sometimes we want to forget God. Don't tell me you've not ever thought about it. Think about your prayer life. When's the last time you prayed? 3-4 days ago? We have a battle with even denying ourselves. There's a battle in taking up your cross. Sometimes we want to lay it down because it's just too... It's just too heavy today. Been there? Sometimes it's just been just too heavy today. But when we know Christ, that's when we're talking to him. Lord, it's just too heavy today. When do you feel that you're the closest to God? When you're going through hard times. When do you feel like there's a pull toward God more than ever? When you're going through a rough time. So when you don't feel like carrying that cross and you are a person who's sold out to Christ, you turn to him and you don't even realize it, that you're turning to him because it's just natural. It's automatic. It's normal. Where other people are not going to turn to Christ, they're going to turn to everything else in the world until they fall flat on their face and end up in places where they shouldn't be. They didn't have to be, but because of bad choices or whatever they chose, that's what come out of the circumstances. And now they're pleading to God instead of being on the at that moment where you say, today, Lord, I'm just telling you, Lord, today, this cross is pretty heavy. It's better to talk to God before you get all up into the trouble. But honestly, there is a battle. There's a battle sometimes in just taking up your cross. Sometimes we say, I'm going to lay it down. And Lord, I want to walk away. It's too heavy. But I want to remind you that Jesus, many times, he'll just say, come unto me, you all weary and heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. There's moments when we can. We just need some time with God. We need to rest. We need to get with him. And here's what I'm saying. If you lay your cross down, lay it right between you and Jesus. Don't lay it out in the field. Walk away. Don't lay it around the corner and not talk to him. If you're going to lay it down for a moment, lay it down and say, Lord, I need a rest. You, him, cross, your problems right in front of you, and you'll work it out. Because there is sometimes a battle in picking up, taking up your cross. And sometimes there's a battle even in following Christ. This new path, Lord, you got me on. I don't know which way I'm coming, which way I'm going. I'm getting lost out here. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know which way to go. Sometimes we're looking too far. We're looking farther than we need to. Y'all get on those GPSs, and we were down in Mississippi just trying to figure out, when we going to get off this highway? When we going to get off this 50-mile-an-hour country road or just whatever it was, forest road? Just couldn't wait to get off of it. But it was the route we were taking. But you want to know? We made it to our destination. Sometimes the GPS that God has us following isn't always the shortest route. It isn't always the prettiest route. It isn't the route we planned. Give me that map. I'll show you the better way, right? But it's the path God's on. And if it's the path God's on, that's the path I want to be on. Regardless if it's the shortest, the longest, the craziest, the windiest, or whatever, where he is, those who are sold out, that's where they want to be. But you're going to have people that are going to push and shove and say things. But I want to tell you, when you are in tune and you know that you're doing what God's called you to do and you're on the path, I'm telling you, you're on the right path. It may not look pretty, but you're on the right path. There's a purpose. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. So you're going to follow, even though there's a battle sometimes. And sometimes, folks, we say the cost, we battle with the cost. Because the cost seems to be a little too high. I'm not going to follow God. I'll put a call on my life. I'm not going to follow that because that's going to cost me more time with my spouse. It's going to cost me more time in my personal time. It's going to cost me more time in this. I'm going to have to change. Now I'm going to have to trust God, and I have no plans, and I've got to give up this life to do this life, and I don't know. So the cost, I'm weighing it out, and it's too hard. And Lord, I don't know if I want to do this. Let me tell you something. God created you for a purpose, every single one of you for a purpose, to fit in some kind of shape that he has. You're the only one that fits that shape because every person is unique to God. Every person is special to God. Every person is important to God. And I believe that Jesus is a heart collector. And every heart and every human being is different. It's like a thumbprint. Every one is different. And you know, if you're a collector of anything, you want the whole collection. You want a complete collection. Sometimes we think the cost is too hard or too much. So we struggle with the desire at times. And we struggle with denying at times. We can struggle with taking up the cross. We can struggle with following at times. And we can struggle with the cost. But I want to tell you something. If you stay focused with Christ, you're going to have some ups and downs. But I'm telling you, stay in His presence. Galatians 5:9 says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season or due time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up." Some of you think too much on the flesh of this life, and you think, "Oh, I don't care about the eternal." Listen, the eternal is more than this life. And God will reward. It says in 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." I've always wondered, we see a lot about angels, and then we don't see a lot about angels, and then we see a moment of angels, and then we don't see nothing about angels for many, many chapters and many, many books. But we see in this specific piece that Jesus comes with the angels, and we see that angels work, and they minister to us, and they do God's work and bidding here. There are angels that have worked in your life, that's what I'm saying. Not that we're trying to impress them, but I also wonder, when God comes time to, well, he says he will reward each according to his works. Jesus is going to reward. But he's coming with the angels. And I wonder sometimes, some of the angels has done some things here in New Life, if they're personally, not that we're trying to gain their thumbs up or their gratitude, but are they shaking their head going, "They ain't getting it"? Or like, "Yes." When they didn't have, they still sought God. When they didn't know, they still sought God. When they were struggling with desire, they still sought God. When they were struggling with denying themselves, they still sought God. When they were taking up their cross and they were struggling with it, they still sought God. And then when they were struggling with following, they still sought God. And when they came to the part of the cost, it cost and it cost, but they still sought God. And there's an excitement because God sees everything. God knows everything. And God will reward according to your works. Don't you think that God's not going to reward? The Bible says that he is. He's going to reward. If you sit in this life and you just sit there and you make everything about you, I'm telling you, you're not going to really be happy about the day of rewards. We don't do this for rewards, but God is an awesome giver. Who here likes to give gifts to people, to your family members and to your kids? God is better than you. We are His family, and God wants to give gifts. He wants to bless us. He wants to make us excited He knows what He's been on this, and He knows how junky it is and how messed up it is, and He knows. And you're fighting against the grain. You're pushing against the grain of the world and the darkness, and you're trying to live that life. Let me tell you, He is your biggest fan. The Bible says He's at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I, not looking at the stars, not rolling his thumbs and not thinking about the next whatever he's going to do. He's interceding for you and I. We are important people. Don't ever think you're not important. God gave his son. Jesus gave his life. What could we possibly do? Because we can't buy our salvation. We can't create our own salvation. But what can we do? We can do exactly what Jesus says. We need to have a desire for him. We need to deny ourselves, take up a cross, and follow Jesus, and don't look back. Amen? We need to do that. Don't let the world distract you. You can do this. You can do this. Because greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's awesome. And all he's challenging us to do is get a desire, a spark in your life. When that spark, you start rolling out and you start having a desire to follow him. And you learn how to deny yourself. And you work on self-control. And you start letting go of things. And then you take up that cross. You take up that ministry. You take up that call in your life. And you carry it on the good days and the bad days. And you follow Christ, not your own intentions, but the Holy Spirit's intentions. And it's going to cost you sometimes. Some days it's going to cost you a lot. But I want to tell you, the eyes of God, the Father, is on you. Nothing can happen to you as God allows it. Amen? The Bible says there is something called a protective hedge. He puts it around people who follow him in a righteous way. We see that in the book of Job. And Satan complained about it because he said, I cannot get in. You put a protective hedge around him. There is something to say about following Jesus and living righteously. Does it make us perfect? But it makes us following God's will. So as we come to this conclusion of this message, do you struggle with desire? Do you struggle with denying yourself? Do you struggle with taking up your cross? Do you struggle with following him? Do you struggle with the cost of it? Listen, every one of those areas, you can have a bad day. But let me tell you, Jesus is not a quitter. God's not a quitter. And we got to learn not to be quitters. We got to be faithful and committed to Christ. Amen?